Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Coming up on this episode of The Entrepreneurial You.
Your best asset is your early adopter customers, the ones that will leave you reviews and give you the referrals. And if you're not taking care of them or keeping them happy, it's going to be a lot harder to go and get more customers out there, which is the key to growth.
You can't just ask customers what they want and then try to give that to them. By the time you get it built, they'll want something new. Steve Jobs. Well, before I introduce my guest today, I have something I want to share with you, and I've been sharing with you for the past few weeks now, and it's just to make your social media management a lot easier. It is less time consuming and perhaps, you know, more than anything else that you'll ever use and never try before. So with this tool that I'm about to share with you, you'll be able to improve your team and your clients' collaboration, not just that, your productivity as well. And of course, I'm talking about eClincher. You can finally get around to doing that project that you've always wanted to work on because you'll be freeing up some of your time, your valuable asset. So visit the show notes page of this episode to sign up for a free 14-day trial using my affiliate link, which will be, of course, in the show notes, as I mentioned. So whether you're an SME, your agency, or an enterprise, eClincher is for you. You can sign up today. Now, I just want to say welcome to episode 230 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. Today's episode is with Lucas Walker, and Lucas is a serial entrepreneur, having started three successful businesses in the software, e-commerce, and media spaces, working on bootstrapped and venture-funded companies. There's really just a handful of people with experiences that he has. So I'm really happy to talk with him because he has reviewed more than 10,000 e-commerce stores as a part of his work over the past couple of years. I'm really excited about this conversation that we're going to be having on launching a product in a competitive market with no prior experience. Welcome, Lucas.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. What a wonderful intro. I normally struggle with an intro. I leave too much in, take too much out, but that was phenomenal. Thank you so much for such a wonderful intro.
Oh, my pleasure. My absolute pleasure. I'm happy that you're happy. That's my aim. So before we dive into what I mentioned earlier, Lucas, what's your favorite thing about Jamaica? If there's a favorite thing that you've ever heard about, you've ever been, you've ever done.
Well, I'm from Toronto, so I got to say the food. I just have to say the food, and specifically Jamaican patties. So I'm going to go for the food. Thankfully, there's a lot of good Jamaican food here in Toronto. I haven't been to Jamaica myself, but I would say that has to be what would take me there.
Ah, awesome sauce. Yeah, that's high on the priority list for many people, and you're just one of them. So yeah, patties too, they're amazing. You know, we have a wide variety of patties that people just die for. All right. We are going to be talking launching a product in a competitive market with no prior experience. Now, I said some things in the intro. First of all, I'd love to hear from you, Lucas. What has been your experience over the years? Just take us a little through what were your interests when you were growing up as a child to what led you into where you are today.
Yeah, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to dabble into a lot of different things throughout my career. And I think that a lot of that comes from my childhood, just being consistently curious, to the dismay of some of my maybe teachers or childcare providers, always getting into stuff and asking questions. And I think that something else is just really that thirst for knowledge, whether it's just reading something for fun as a kid or continuing to just read, and there's always something you can learn or something that you can view your process and your workflows a little bit differently. So I think that's something that's really impacted me, and just something that I've really done throughout my career.
Okay, interesting. All right, so I want to go back to the when you're launching a new product, well, not go back to it. Let's start there, yeah, based on what you've said. When we're launching a new product, kind of take us through the difference between a product and a service in terms of the launch considerations?
Yeah, I think that the difference is supply with services. There's a finite amount of supply, so you have to be focused on grabbing the attention of the right people early on, versus a product where you really want to constantly be selling more of that and finding new markets. I think that's the core difference. But what brings them together is understanding the business and nuances of both. What I mean by that is just knowing what your costs are. And for services, it's a little bit tricky, but you should know roughly what it will cost you to offer that service. And that way you can do it profitably from the start, maybe not the highest profit. There might be some learning experiences there, but it's a lot easier than a physical product where you have different iterations you do, where you have all kinds of different challenges. So I think that really the difference is knowing who you can sell to. Like, as much as I would love to be able to go out and make a podcast for everyone on the Rolled Up Network, it's not feasible because there are editors, there's scripting, there's just more to it that versus a product where once you know what you're doing and you can order more at a time or sell more individual units, that's where it's a little bit the biggest differences between products versus something more service based.
All right. So we did mention a little bit about costs and so on, and costing is so critical to any product launch that we're going to be doing, any, you know, product that we're developing. It is absolutely critical. Now, thinking in the competitive market, you know, space that we're addressing, what are some of the costs? And let's go back to product and stick to product. What are some of the costs, you know, that we need to factor in that perhaps a new entrepreneur, you know, a startup may be overlooking? So kind of take us through those that we need to be absolutely thinking about.
Yeah. So I think that things that you just need to be thinking about are cost to support customers down the road. And this is for both either a product, a service, a productized service. There are just a lot of nuances that might come up, whether it's increasing your software costs, we're seeing it more and more, any even lawsuits, putting aside money for taxes, but also knowing your things like your return rate and what's going on there if it's a physical good. So just knowing what might come up down the road and being able to support that, especially early on, your best asset are your early adopter customers, the ones that will leave you reviews and give you the referrals. And if you're not taking care of them or keeping them happy, it's going to be a lot harder to go and get more customers out there, which is the key to growth.
So in terms of your time, though, like a lot of people I know when they're doing business, like, okay, they don't, when they're putting their costings together, they don't factor in the time because they are putting in the time and they think, okay, you know, I this is free. It's not costing me anything in terms of dollars and cents. So take us through not only, you know, like the customers down the road, but the nuances of factoring time, your time, factoring any even gifts and stuff that you may get. But and how do you, you know, account for all of these things?
Yeah, so I think that the biggest thing to know is just document your process and what you're doing as you go. This will give you a more accurate reflection of what the amount of time things are taking you. And this includes thinking time. I think one of the reasons that burnout is so common since the pandemic is we're just filling our time with work, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's quality or productive. The other thing with knowing your time is that it allows you to build out a process, which makes it easier to delegate. So by really documenting what you're spending your time on, it lets you optimize and streamline your process so that you can know where you're spending your time, you're avoiding burnout, and you're able to delegate down the road.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned process, which is absolutely key. Let's talk about now the sales process. So perhaps you can use the sales process, like going into retailers like for Petco or Marshalls and so on. What's that process like?
So it starts early and a lot earlier than people than people think. Those sales cycles, you don't just call them up and then sell them product. You might need to just build relationships with buyers for 6 to 8 months before they start bringing in new products. So I think that there's that, which is really key, is the first stage is just knowing what that retailer looks like. How do they operate? If it's different than selling to other companies, you need to know that, because at the end of the day, they have so many products trying to get on their shelves. What are you need to be able to follow their process. So that's the first thing, is understand the buying cycle. I'd say the other thing is really work with your buyers, especially if it's your first time going through. Ask them for help of saying what kind of products tend to do well, what makes for a successful launch. So I think that those are the two big things. If it's your first time going into a new buying process, is just don't be impatient. It is on your buyer's schedule. So one of the analogies that I like to use is that you might have the steering wheel, in that you're going to get your products on the shelves, but they have the gas and brake. So they control how fast it goes or how slow it goes. And at the same time, be ready to move quickly. Sometimes you get lucky that they're doing a new product promotion, or maybe they're launching a new e-commerce section where it allows you to get in and start working with them on a smaller project before you really start to go and work on the big things.
So speaking of promotions, let's kind of segue into holidays and how we should factor in, and why we should factor in holidays in any product launch campaign that we are putting together.
Yeah, so there's a few reasons around that. One is that holidays are just generally fun. I think that there's some regional nuances. So we're recording this in June. Both Canada and the US had long weekends in May, but for drastically different reasons. In Canada, it's for Victoria Day. So going back to the history of the British, which I do think is evolving right now, especially in Canada. But generally speaking, Victoria Day is the unofficial start to summer and the long weekend. Whereas Memorial Day in the US is a little bit more of a celebration, a moment of appreciation of service for veterans who've served and lost their lives. So I think that tone needs to be reflective. But generally speaking, holidays are fun. People get time off work. They're looking forward to a long weekend. And they're in a little bit more of a buying mood, or even just they're slowing down, so they take the time to maybe research something a little bit more. So I think that that's one item of holidays. The second is that there are just a lot of holidays that really fit in. If I start Googling International Jamaican Paddy Day, I'm sure that exists. So you can have a lot of fun with that. And it's a reason to reach out to your customers without necessarily having to give a discount. And you can have some fun with that to grow your community or grow other channels. So maybe you say, hey, you know what? It's International Jamaican Patty Day. We want to know, do you put your patties in a bun or not? And you use that to drive your engagement and naturally see a lift in sales. And it doesn't always have to be an overly complicated email flow or system, but there are just such good ways to really engage with your customers on holidays beyond just, hey, we're having a holiday sale or anything else like that. So I think that that's sort of the baseline for it. If you get into a little bit more of the organic strategies, what we see is things like Father's Day coming up, or Canada Day, 4th of July, etc. It's easy to build out a campaign once that you can reuse every year. So although holidays tend to be very competitive, they tend to be crowded, they're fairly low effort after that first year to just update them, continue to get a little bit of SEO, etc. So there are some good strategies around holidays there that your business can use where appropriate.
All right. So maybe if there's no International Jamaican Patty Day, perhaps we need to start one. Yeah.
100%. Because that's what we need. Another 32-year-old white dude taking over another culture's food and holidays.
All right. So let's talk about a checklist, as it were, that will form or should inform your strategy for a product launch. And
by the way, I just Googled it. Mm-hmm. February 23rd is the Jamaican Potty Day.
There is? Oh my gosh. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Well, you taught me something today. Thanks to our conversation.
So the next one is Tuesday, February 23rd for Jamaican Potty Day. So I know what I'm eating.
MG. I like this a lot.
How many patties could you eat at one time?
Can I tell you? Oh my gosh. All right.
Four?
Or five, perhaps?
Four or five, yeah. Well, it depends. It depends on how much they stuff them. If it's all pastry, you can do like seven or eight. But if it's a good meaty one, like three.
Yeah. Okay. This is interesting. All right. So we continue, right? We're talking still in this competitive marketplace. And if ever the marketplace was competitive, it's now. So to our audience members, what I'd want for you to share, Lucas, is like a nice little checklist that will inform a strategy, a product launch strategy in this environment. And I know that we're never, ever going to get back to what we knew normal to be. So, you know, there may be some semblance of it, but it will never, ever get back there because there is, as we put it, a new normal. So in this climate, what kind of a checklist would look like informing our strategy for product launch?
Yeah, I think the first thing is audience collection. So start building out your email list, your SMS numbers of customers who are opted in. That's the first step. I think that the second step is then a low cost test, and it's not free. It is low cost, and it could be as simple as creating a landing page and running some traffic to that. And once you do this a few times, you start to just see if something's sort of par for the course, if it's more expensive, less expensive, what are the engagement rates? Are people interested more than average? So I think that's really the first couple of steps. And then identify the appropriate channel. Is it on your own website? Is it through a retail partner? Is it through a channel like Kickstarter, for instance? So I think that those are the three sort of pre-launch things to identify. Then during the launch itself, the more work you can do ahead of time, the easier you're going to have. So let's say we're launching a new condiment, like a special patty sauce, and we want it, let's say it's like a spicy ketchup or something, just to give a more tactical example. Now that we know that we have the demand for this, we're going to need to find a supplier and someone who can help us create a food product and then a way to get it to customers as well. If you're selling a digital product or software, that's pretty easy. If not, you might want to connect with a 3PL like ShipBob or someone that can help you do that. And then really finding out, okay, and then post-launch, what do your first customers like about the product? Because you'll want to make some iterations from when the customers have actually had it. What could you be doing better? And I think being really upfront with your customers that, hey, we're going to make some changes, some challenges to it, is a great way to reiterate. And especially early on, if you can be very proactive about any messaging or support, that will go a long way in helping your overall customer satisfaction and growth. And I say customer satisfaction, but I mean making sure that your customers are happy with taking a risk on purchasing from you for the first time.
Okay, so let's talk about the team that would be involved, though, because that's going to be key, right? You're launching a new product. What are some of the skill set that your team members need to have? And I mean, what's the minimum viable team that you can work with to be effective?
I mean, it depends on how big you want to go, but somebody on that core team is going to have to be a strong writer, because so much of how we communicate is via text, whether it's reading a product display page, those pre-launch emails, even trying to find answers to a question before they make a purchase. If you don't have good help docs or an FAQ, you're adding a lot of friction to your buying process, which as you're trying to get going, you want to just make it as easy as possible to get going. So I think that start with a really high quality writer and then go from there. And then the rest of the team, it will depend. You need to be doing some of it in-house, but then also looking to outsource. Somebody who can run email, possibly somebody to do a little bit of sales or even onboarding. So a hybrid support / sales role. And someone who can really, a generalist for marketing, somebody who can write ad copy, emails and run Facebook ads or whatever paid advertising mediums you're using. So I think that those are the start, and then you can kind of plug the gaps in with freelancers and another talent from other sources, whether it's a graphic designer from a site like Upwork or Fiverr, wherever you're finding your designers, or even someone local if you post that. But I think that's really the core, is you need a communicator and a distributor to get your products and your awareness in front of the right people.
Sounds good to me. So at this point in our conversation, Lucas, you've been really sharing a lot about, you know, how we can launch our products and new product that is, and particularly in this environment. Now, I'm going to ask you at this time to kind of share whatever final thoughts you may have, things maybe that we haven't touched on that you think is absolutely key for our audience member to consider, particularly those who are thinking of launching a new product right now.
Yeah, I think the first thing is don't be afraid to go out and ask for help from people who have done it. I remember when I was launching my product, I would just message the Facebook page because I figured it was also the other owners who were reading the messages. So don't be afraid to go out and ask for a little bit of help. People are generally pretty friendly and open and willing to help. So I think that's the first little piece of advice I would say to take away, is don't be in the mindset that you need to know it all right away. Keep learning. And with that, the second piece is to really keep your head on a swivel, where look for your opportunities. Maybe keep your sonar on or your radar on, where there's all kinds of little nuggets and pieces of advice that are in front of you, and you don't have to go too far to find them. But you do have to keep your eyes and your ears and your mind open to take them, that feedback that you can see. The perfect example might be our Jamaican patty example, where we know that, you know, people like, it's a great to-go food because you can take it wherever you go, but by the beach there's nowhere that sells them. So that could be an example of a very real world opportunity. It could also be that when you try to search for something, the only places products come up are Amazon or Wayfair, and they look like kind of not great products versus buying from an actual website and a maker on a Shopify site. So I think that just being really open and ready for those nuances goes a really long way.
Awesome sauce. Now, Lucas, it's time for you to tell us how to get in touch with you. And perhaps before that, too, just share a little bit about your company. Give us a synopsis of your company. And so that, of course, you know, our audience member will go check it out as well.
Yeah, Rolled Up produces and distributes podcasts. So right now we do a lot in the entrepreneurial space, but we've got a couple more fun ones coming out. Hopefully by the time that this episode airs, those will be distributed. So just if you search for Rolled Up on Spotify or Apple, you'll find those. And if you search for Lucas Walker, you'll find me there. So give my stuff a listen. I hope you enjoy that. And you should be able to find my Twitter at Walker Lucas. It's probably the easiest way to find me. But if not, if you just Google Lucas Walker, all my stuff comes up. It's rolledup.io. But I think that if you know how to use a search engine, you should be able to find me.
Absolutely. It has been my pleasure, Lucas Walker, to have this conversation with you. And I truly wish for you every success on your onward journey.
My pleasure. Likewise. I want more success for you, because that's bringing me up. The more success Absolutely. That you have, if I can get 90% of that, I'm happy with that.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
All right. Take care. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you, my peak performer, for tuning into this episode with Lucas Walker. I certainly look forward to connecting with you next week. As you know, you're my favorite place to be. Same place, same time. In the meantime, of course, you connect with me for all things podcasting, whether it's my book, Podcast Power, The Quick Start Guide to Launching and Leveling Up Your Brand, or it's going to be coaching for podcasting or production, or whether it's my online course, whatever. Visit hennikowatkisporter.com and send me a WhatsApp message from my homepage, where I will respond to you directly. Won't be anybody else responding to you. I will be the one responding to you. And I want to hear from you. And also, you can send me a review. Write me a review in Apple Podcast and or leave a comment on the show notes page of the episode that you're now listening to, and I will, of course, engage with you. Here is this week's point of hope. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets that he may run that readeth it. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. What good?
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.